Tap into the passion and vision of well-known entertainment luminaries with Thinking Out Loud. Go on a journey with unfiltered access to today's media innovators. Hear their strategy for rising above the crowded landscape. Important lessons and valuable wisdom that only comes from real industry experience.
Hello, I'm Vicki Lins, President and CEO of CTAM, a marketing organization focused on the media, entertainment, technology industry. Today, I'm speaking with Stacy Julna, founder and chief marketing officer of Klix, which is a multi-platform streaming company with a very different and interesting business model. So I'm glad you're joining us for this conversation. And Stacy, welcome. It's a real pleasure to be talking to you today.
Oh, thank you so much, Vicki. It's a pleasure to be talking to you as well.
So you and I were just chatting a little bit before we hit record, and I was saying that there's got to be an interesting transition from your journey from being a successful broadcast journalism executive to diving into the digital world and launching some really disruptive and interesting businesses. So fill us in a little bit about your background so there's some context to our conversation today.
You know, I started as a journalist in print with the Washington Post and Time Magazine, transition to this brand new outfit in Atlanta, Georgia, most of us looked at as either this cockamamie new cable outfit or the future of information and entertainment worldwide. Fortunately, it turned into the latter and not the former. And we built an amazing company with the guidance of probably the best entrepreneur in my lifetime, Ted Turner. After a number of years helping to guide and develop and build CNN, I had the opportunity to join Microsoft. That was in the late 90s when everyone recalls that Silicon Valley was exploding with ideas and new enterprises, everything from Yahoo and Excite to Apple and Google and on and on and on. It was an opportunity for me to make that transition into the exciting new world of what was happening as technology played more of a leading role in developing our experience with television and multi-screen experiences in information and entertainment. After a bit of time with a company called Web TV, and I was introduced to a couple of guys with a vision for a video serving machine. They were calling Teleworld. Some money had been put in by the two founders, Mike Ramsey and Jim Barton, and by Jeff Yang. It was a small amount of money, about $3 million collectively, but it was the beginning of another new journey for me personally and for the television industry. We came to an agreement that I would come on board with 17 engineers as the non-propeller head in the company if they let me rebrand the company. And fortunately, Mike said yes. And the name that really resonated for me was TiVo. And within a fairly short period of time, we brought in virtually every major media company as investors, as partners in TiVo. And we painted a story that was very exciting to guys like John Hendrick, the CEO of Discovery, and David Zaslav, who was an executive at NBC at the time. But it was really an opportunity to start thinking about interactive advertising, to begin the thought process around interactive promotions across linear networks. It was especially an opportunity to work on behalf of the consumer to provide choice, control, convenience, the three C's of the cable industry for consumers, and to present that challenge that would advance the cable networks into the future as well. So here for the first time, we had an opportunity to give the consumer control over their entire entertainment experience, because this new technology, TiVo, allowed them to pause live TV so that they could go to the refrigerator and get something to eat in the middle of a show. They could rewind, and I could pause TV and rewind it. It was a chance to schedule your entertainment experience. And the other interesting part of what TiVo brought to the party and advanced for the cable industry as well as the consumer was this idea that you would always watch TV now with your remote control in your hand because you had full control. You had full control as the consumer. What did that do for the TV industry? Well, one of the things it began to do was create innovation, create new thinking around where all of this was going as the consumer began to take control of the experience from the programming executives at the networks. And where that landed was more and more on-demand viewing for consumers, more and more of this idea that perhaps a subscription without advertising would be a good way to go, right? Similar to what we were experiencing with HBO and Showtime networks. And all of that led over a decade to the advent of Netflix and then Prime Video from Amazon and Peacock and others. What's interesting really to me is that here we are now with all of these subscriptions. The cable cutting is increasing dramatically because you've got more and more control as a consumer, right? And one of the new advents from all of this was Roku. And Roku said, well, we'll work with the subscription companies. We'll be the new cable. We'll be the new platform where all of these networks can live. And you can very simply access any of the networks, any of the shows you're interested in.
There's a lot of great stuff in there. So let's just put that aside for a minute and let's talk about clicks, because we're going to want to level set for our listeners what is clicks. So Stacey, tell us about clicks. Tell us why should people use clicks and what is clicks really all about?
One of my takeaways from helping develop the TiVo experience with more control for consumers, one of my takeaways from having worked at News Corp with Jeff Schell to develop the future of TV guidance was that there is a pent-up demand amongst consumers, especially at a time when we're all sitting on an ocean of content. There is a pent-up demand to find what you want, when you want to watch it, wherever you want to watch it. And that is the future of guidance.
It's also not even knowing what you want to watch, right? There is such an enormous amount of content that viewers just don't even really know what they're looking for all the time.
Exactly. So there's that combination of serendipity, you know, show me something really cool to watch, right? And that integration of human editorial curation and machines, AI and machine learning, to provide a personal experience for you to say, here, Vicky, is your list of shows, of movies, streaming series that you're going to want to take a look at tonight, right? If you're anything like me, you know, my wife and I will sit there arguing for 28 minutes about what our entertainment experience ought to be, because we've got all of these subscription services and all of these movies and streaming series, and we just don't know what to watch. So enter clicks with the idea that we could become not only an ally to all of the cable companies, the streaming companies, and helping to identify the best streaming content, the best movies and series coming across the board for consumers, but we could also be an ally to every cable company and every streaming company in offering up a guidance service.
So I think this is a really interesting and unique point, because clicks is not a fighter in the streaming wars. You're an ally in the streaming wars. That's a unique position to hold. So explain a little bit more about what that allyship looks like. We now understand the value and convenience and control that you bring to consumers. What does the other side of that allyship look like to partners?
Yeah, so let's talk about the cable companies for right now. There are do's and don'ts that we tend to think about. You know, number one is don't count the cable companies out, right? Because they're going to play a major role, and they already are, in terms of developing streaming services of their own. Best example of that is what NBC is doing with Peacock, what Paramount is doing across the board with CBS and all of its assets. AMC's got AMC Plus now. Showtime has Showtime Plus. These are all streaming on-demand services. So we see that happening across all cable companies, pretty much all the majors are playing in this world. For the consumer, it creates a world of on-demand content. And then the key there is, what do I want to watch, right? How do I figure out, by going to one source, what the best series, the best movies to stream are at any one moment in time, right? Because if I go to Netflix, I see the Netflix grid. And if I go to Amazon Prime Video, I see the Amazon grid. But there's not one centralized source that aggregates and pinpoints precisely the programming I'm going to be most interested in at any particular moment in time.
So I didn't realize when we scheduled our conversation that we are just about 1 year from your launch.
Yes.
And so it's an interesting anniversary time for the service. And if I'm correct, you've surpassed 6 million subscribers in that first year.
Actually, Vicky, the really good news is that we have now surpassed 10 million registered users.
So, Stacey, that jump happened in the last couple of months.
In the last several months, yes.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so what's going on? What just happened?
Well, so there are a number of things that we're beginning to layer in. We created the Clix infrastructure on top of the classic marketing funnel, right? I'm taking everybody back to business school for, I promise, just like a couple of seconds. The whole idea was, let's create this infrastructure that begins with the user journey at the top of the funnel so you could investigate the best of streaming content and then guide them down that funnel to learn more, convert them, send them off to each individual streaming network where they can find precisely what they want to watch, and ultimately build that loyalty to those shows on those streaming networks. And the answer to your question really is that we always began Clix with the concept that the consumer is number one. That's our priority. Satisfy the consumer and everybody else wins in this equation. Whether you're an advertising brand or an agency or a cable company or a streaming company or a platform, everybody wins when the consumer has the experience that they wish to have. Then we took a look at devices and said, you know what? What we're really doing here is focusing in short form series and bites. We're focusing on mobile consumers. The consequence of that was that we indeed found out that 99.4% of our consumers were mobile users, not just in the US, but around the world. So everybody's walking around with a TV in their pocket now. We're satisfying that demand around mobility. We found out that demographically, we've got a fairly even split between male and female. We found out that advertisers who were shut out of the subscription model that streamers, and suddenly thereafter, it was the advertisers that were excited about getting involved in a hybrid model with companies like Peacock, right? Even Netflix at this point is developing a hybrid model. Amazon is developing a hybrid model of advertising and subscription. So we're beginning to kind of recreate this ecosystem. When I say we, I mean all of us collectively with CTAM. We're creating this new ecosystem that is very similar to the old ecosystem, but with a lot more control for consumers. We saw that beginning to happen and made a clear strategic decision to be in the middle of all that, not be a combatant, but rather be an ally to all of the major stakeholders in the industry.
With this 99% usage on mobile, how do you make sense of that? People are using their phones to figure out what to watch on other devices? Or
yes.
Okay, so it's the phone as a search mechanism for whatever device they're watching.
Well, so here's the funny sort of behavioral reality that we have been evolving into, all of us. One is that TiVo taught us to watch TV in our homes with a remote control in our hand. The mobile phone taught us with our other hand to hold our phone, right? So here we are watching TV and relaxing and enjoying TV. We've got a remote in one hand and our mobile phone in the other hand. What do we do with that mobile phone? Oftentimes we're checking where we should go to enjoy our entertainment experience, right? And that's the place where Clix plays primarily and as a priority on behalf of consumers.
Okay, so I asked that question for a very specific reason, because the other dimension of what Clix offers, which is really unique, is this level of engagement that you drive. You Yes. encourage active usership. And that involves advertising, it involves trivia and games, it involves choice and feedback. And through engagement, then your consumers can earn Clix cash rewards that are redeemable for brand products.
Exactly. That was excellent.
I'm fascinated because you've built in an intersection with the commerce space, which is really interesting, but you're doing it in a fun way for consumers and hopefully a value-added way for advertisers. And so break that apart for us and help us better understand that.
Sure. Here's where we began to evolve. We began with this idea that we can introduce our consumers to the best of streaming. That was number one, be that guidance, you know, sort of guru, right? Number two, we saw the opportunity to begin the process of introducing our consumers as well to buy products. And because we're free to consumers, we saw the opportunity for advertisers to have a more extended branding experience on Clix. And in fact, we were just awarded a patent for our advertising process, which really follows that classic marketing funnel. For example, a pre-roll or a graphic display ad, click on it, and you're suddenly in the world of Pizza Hut or Kentucky Fried Chicken or Paramount Plus or Amazon Prime Video, where you get that extended experience of special promotions, additional video to engage you, and a buy button to click on to take you directly to purchase that $6.99 personal pizza or that bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken combination or a subscription to Netflix.
Well, I don't want to wonk out here on our yeah. audience, but to me, and you know, for those of you out there who know anything about my background, in another lifetime, I was involved in a joint venture called Canoe Ventures, where we were striving to build the first national interactive television platform. And this is an aspiration that's been around for quite a long time. And, you know, we could go down all kinds of rabbit holes on why it did and didn't happen and all the different pieces. But what you're delivering is bringing a lot of that to fruition in a very real way in this new streaming space.
Yeah,
and so that's just really super cool.
I think the big distinction, because Canoe is really forward thinking as it was evolving with the cable companies, it relied on hardware. And one of the lessons I learned at TiVo, which was a hardware device, was that everything was evolving into software.
Yes.
And as you evolve into software, it becomes less expensive to develop. It becomes less expensive to purchase for the consumer. So here's what we did. So as our audience was growing through that 6 million on the way to that 10 million registered user base, we said, okay, now let's really focus on engagement. Let's focus on driving the pendulum from global to US audiences as a business objective, because it's a higher value in terms of advertising sales. And let's look for ways that we could increase the engagement of users on our platform. The result of that was what we call Clicks Quiz. And we introduced this idea of multiple choice questions that speak to our brand, TV, movies, and sports, multiple choice questions. It increased our advertising inventory as well in a much more engaging way. It was fun and addictive for consumers to play. It fed directly into our brand essence as an entertainment company. We developed Play to Win concept with cash prizes, $500 a week, $1,000 sweepstakes every month. It became so successful. Our sponsors came on board, KFC and Pizza Hut and Paramount Plus and more, and everything began moving in the right direction.
So when you're looking at the 99% usage on mobile devices, my understanding is that the users are mainly consulting the app for top-rated series, movies, trailers, recommended viewing suggestions. You obviously filter that different ways, and AI helps you get it right. What does the usage look like for the interactive component on Clicks? Are you gaining traction in that space, and are viewers embracing the opportunity for truly bringing interactive television to life?
Yes, we took the word interactive from probably 25 years ago, and we now think of it as the word engagement, right? You know, here's the thing to remember about engagement is that if you look at the average click-through rate of Google on the internet, it's about a 0.46% for display advertising. Facebook is showing display click-through rate across everything as a 0.3%. We took a look at the numbers, and Clicks is crushing the industry advertising engagement numbers. So our internal ads for the Clicks Quiz, for example, is display ads, 87.6%. 87.6% compared to a 0.46 or a 0.3. Pizza Hut, 70.77% click-through rate on graphics display ads. Our Kentucky Fried Chicken, 46.13% click-through rate. We knew that we were on the right path. We're not talking about banner ads. We're talking about display ads that live sandwiched between thumbnails for video, trailers, and electric press kit materials, you know, the interviews with the stars and the director and whatnot, sandwiched those great engagement content pieces with really compelling ads that are display ads. And our click-through was just beginning to soar. We are in the process of developing deep linking capabilities that go from Clicks directly to HBO Max, to Paramount Plus, to Amazon Prime Video and Netflix and other streamers, so that consumers can one click get to those streamers and watch what they want to on the screen they wish and subscribe to that service if they're not already there.
Now, I know that Clicks also offers some original programming. So what does that look like, and how does that fit into this whole value ecosystem?
That's a great question. So one of the things that we really wanted to do from the start was not only be a spearhead into advanced guidance for studio product for great streaming series and movies, but also for emerging talent in every field, and do it as short form, sort of mobile content that you can fully watch in bits and bytes. And so we began to identify really cool folks out there who are doing different sorts of things. So, you know, we have an opportunity under the umbrella of guiding consumers to the best of video to introduce them to all kinds of emerging stars. And by the way, the new emerging stars that we're most excited about is our relationship with an influencer team called Hustle House LA. Hustle House has hundreds of millions of users, followers on TikTok and other social media platforms that focus on short form content. Hustle House are a bunch of ex-Southern jocks, football players, basketball players that started as influencers, gathered together, and they're really good. These guys want to become actors and comedians and videographers and directors and what have you. That's their goal. We gave them a showcase with their own channel on Clicks TV.
So again, you're an ally and not a competitor, because you really are not launching original programming that's competitive in any way other than you're fighting for eyeballs. It's actually complementary to the consumer experience and this deep engagement model that Clicks offers. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Vicky. Consumers first, give them what they want, what they wish, what the pent-up demand is requiring in the marketplace, and we get it right for every stakeholder in the ecosystem.
So the one thing we haven't talked about is money. Let's talk about the revenue model, because this is free to consumers. How does Clicks become profitable?
We're advertiser supported. Our pipeline is long and getting longer and longer of advertisers who really want to be part of this mission of serving consumers in this world of streaming.
Your target audience is predominantly millennials, Gen Z?
Yeah, it's younger, but as most marketers are quick to point out, whatever your bullseye is, it tends to spill over to older generations and younger generations as well, aspirationally. Older generations want to be millennials, or they don't want to give away the imprimatur of owning social culture across the board, especially baby boomers. Millennials, it's interesting to say, having followed millennials for a long time, millennials are now, you know, hitting their 40s, getting married, buying houses, buying cars, having babies. And then there's that Gen Z generation who are becoming one of the most influential and affluent generations to emerge. So we start with that bullseye of millennials and Gen Z, and then just simply know from data and experience that it's going to spill over to other generations as well.
Gen Z especially loves to click to buy, click to view, click to do. Yep. They click. Clicking is an answer to everything. So I have two burning questions that I've got to ask you before we wrap up. What does your marketing strategy look like for promoting Clicks? So here you are, a resource to cut the clutter, right? And bring clarity through all the chaos and all of that. What does that marketing strategy look like to get to people so they know about this resource and opportunity?
The marketing of the Clicks brand and the Clicks message is orchestrated across every platform, Vicky. We are predominantly focused on social media. That's where our audience lives, plays, whether they're working or they're not. So utilizing social influencers, social promotion across Facebook, Google, etc. We're working with the Google innovation team. For example, we're working right now for Halloween on offering up recommendations through Clicks Picks of what your Halloween costume ought to be based on your favorite streaming characters in movies and series that you enjoy watching, whether it's the Marvel guys or it's American Gigolo, right? We're looking for all kinds of ways to reach out across all platforms, all partnerships, even working with our advertisers to get the message out, to have fun, find what you want to watch, when you want to watch it, where you want to watch it. And that is the message that we're distributing across all the touch points that consumers reach and receive.
My other burning question is about the future. You've got this long track record of being a disruptor. Clix is disruptive in a friendly way, but is certainly going to shift the paradigm if you really continue to grow and gain more traction. And from all accounts, your first year has been really remarkable. So we should all be excited about watching what comes next. That's my question for you. What comes next? Not just in terms of Clix, but also where do you see the evolution of the ecosystem going?
Yeah. So a couple of things. The first piece is to expand globally, both in terms of broad reach and deeper capabilities that make that guidance experience more enjoyable and more accurate on a personalized basis. For the industry, I like to look at the cable industry and say, don't count out cable. It's moving in the right direction. It's moving to places that it needs to move to from a business perspective. And every major cable outfit, it seems to us, is moving into streaming so that they offer up on-demand capability to consumers. It's the right way to go. And again, you know, I can't say it enough. Get it right for the consumer and we'll get it right for all of the stakeholders in the ecosystem. Don't count out advertisers. The advertising industry is enormous. And when you think about relevance in terms of the marketing message of a particular brand to a particular consumer audience, that is going to get better and better and better over time with personalization, software, and machine learning, AI. Advertisers will continue to play a large role in this ecosystem to take some of the burden of subscription cost away from consumers so they can get it for free or get it at a discounted price. Do please, across all of this ecosystem, focus on your consumer, not just on yourself, right? Because the more we think about how we can make life more interesting, more exciting, easier for consumers to maintain control and to provide them with more choice and more convenience, the more powerful the ecosystem will become.
And what about pricing models and the proliferation of streaming services? Do you see some sort of reconciliation coming?
I do. I think we're already seeing it with Netflix and Amazon Prime and others that are developing hybrid models. We probably saw that first with Peacock and what Lindy Acorino and her ad sales team was doing at NBC Universal. You know, it's a way to embrace more consumers at a lower price point because great advertisers are helping to lower the price of the experience. I've always been in favor of advertising that offers relevant information in an entertaining way to consumers who are ready to consume, right? Who are ready to purchase. So if you're a baby boomer, a late stage baby boomer, you're probably not going to buy Pampers, right? So it's up to us in this ecosystem to offer up the right product for the right message, for the right audience. And relevance is absolutely key to making advertising really work in the entertainment environment.
And the bet is that relevance will temper the angst consumers have around having to consume advertising. I think we've hit a tipping point where consumers are amenable to advertising again because we trained them to not like ads, right? We've trained them to binge watch shows and to not expect to see advertising. And now we've hit a tipping point. People can't really or don't want to pay for all of the services that they want to own. So they're willing to accept a certain amount of advertising to make this menu that they're choosing possible. But the relevance makes it palatable, I think, because otherwise it's a forced fit and it's causing a new friction point.
You know, you're absolutely right. We did a lot of research at TiVo around this because, you know, the knock on TiVo from the industry was you're letting people skip through the ads, right? And, you know, that hurts our business model. Well, on the one hand, it hurt the business model for legacy, but it opened the door to innovation for streaming and Roku and, you know, on and on and on, right? So the key here is to offer up the kinds of advertising that are specific to cohorts and the right consumers, right? So one of the things we found, for example, with TiVo's research was that on linear channels, Thursday night became movie night to publicize what was coming out in theaters that weekend every Thursday night. And it was a high-priced revenue model for television networks. Well, we found out that consumers with TiVos were actually rewinding and replaying the commercials for those movies that were coming out that weekend. Why is that? Because by Thursday night, people were looking for what they wanted to go to the movies to see that weekend. So again, relevance is absolutely key. People will watch advertising if it's interesting to them. You're in the market for a new car, you watch ads for new cars. Now, the advent of all of the things we're seeing on the internet right now has made it easier to do actual research, but it's work. And advertising is designed to be entertaining while it's informative.
Something came to mind earlier when we were talking about hardware shifting towards software. And you listed a number of the benefits of software. One of the things we didn't discuss was speed and how software allows for a faster and smoother evolution. And I think that fluidity is so important in the landscape of this business these days. The clicks model allows for a lot of fluidity and a lot of iteration and pretty much in real time.
Yeah.
So we've already talked about what's next and what you see coming down the road, but let's just sort of wrap on the point of, as you're iterating and moving forward, where does your gut say you're headed and what should we be getting excited about right now?
So to the point about software versus hardware, software is extremely flexible. It's less expensive than hardware to the point that you as a company can rely less on capital expense and more on innovating software that will provide new services, new benefits to consumers. I believe that's where all of this is going.
That's a great point to wrap up on.
Hey, thank you so much for the time and the questions. I really appreciate it.
Hope you found this Thinking Out Loud conversation interesting and perhaps even thought-provoking. There are more on the way. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.